Hi, Arlene, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hello, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello. Yeah, this is Jeannie. How are
you? Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Vida.
Great, I'm getting, okay, got it now.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
On to.
What a pleasure, to be on this meeting today. I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous. We don't bite, especially when now we're on virtual. We don't bite at all.
I don't know if you saw, Divya's going to be a little late. She's has another meeting.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Margie.
Hello, Margie.
Hi, Margie.
Hi. Hi, Marge.
Hi. I don't see everyone, but it's okay. I couldn't hear you.
Sent a reminder, so if you guys just logged in, I apologize. I just sent another reminder.
I
Margie, you have a quorum if you want to start now or if you wanted to give another.
Okay, we can start now.
Okay.
Okay, now call the meeting to order. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Asian American and Pacific Islanders Community Commission of Clark County. Arlene, could you please lead our Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. If everyone will place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag, United States of America.
And to the Republic,
which stands
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Arlene. I will now do the roll call. Let me call each one. We have Dorinda Burnett. Okay. Aaron Gop.
Present.
Yeah, I think right. Jeannie Kim.
Yes, I'm here.
Daniel Lee.
Present.
We have Daniel Lee.
Yeah, he is there. Daniel, unmute your microphone.
Yeah. So as I call your name, you unmute and then say present. Okay. Thank you. Rita Lynn. I know I saw Rita. Malari. Do we have Alan?
I don't see Alan. Well.
Okay. Arlene Martepar.
Present.
Okay, thank you. Divya Nala. I understand she's in late, but she'll be here. She'll be joining us.
Yes, Margie, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Mika Tamora.
I'm here.
Thanks, Rika. Craig Valdez.
Here.
Okay. Ani Vinuya.
Here.
And Sharifa Wahab. I know she's still recuperating. Okay. So I would also like to introduce our county staff, our secretary Gloria Wells, and our community liaisons are Beatrice Martinez and Emily Nolan. Okay. Now we will typically go to the first portion of the public comment. Due to the COVID-19 county closures are in effect and this meeting is not being held in person, anyone wishing to provide public comments could have emailed county staff as indicated on the agenda by 4 p.m. today. All public comments received can be seen on our website right now at clarkcountynv.gov. The public can listen to this meeting live over the phone. Anyone wishing to speak at this time who has not already submitted comments in writing relating to the agenda can speak now. This meeting is also being recorded and will be posted for the public as required by law. Now, let's go on to approving the minutes of our meeting last June 10, 2020. And it's attached to the invite. It's been sent to us days ago. So do we have the a motion to approve the minutes?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a motion to revise last meeting's minutes to reflect the correct spelling of Auntie Rosita Lee's first name.
Okay.
It's spelled R-O-Z-I-T-A. Is that correct? That's how I've always spelled it. I actually.
O-Z-I-T-A. Yes. Is it on the second page? Okay. It says R-O-S-E-T-T-A, and it needs to be corrected to R-O-Z-I-T-A. So I'm sure Gloria will also take note of that, and B and Emily. So including, is there anything else that you have found? Okay. Including the correction, we have now a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay. Let me add this. Thank you. So all those in favor to approve the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Aye. Yeah. So it's unanimous. Okay. Now we go on to the approval of the agenda for tonight, July 8, 2020, and hold, combine, or delete any items. Do we have a motion? Do we have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
A motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Okay.
I second. Nina and second.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, to one.
In effort to start saving time, I ask that item B on general business to be moved after item D, so we can lead the discussions of item B, E, and F at the same time. Thank you.
Okay, so from 2-1, if you go to the agenda, on page 2, under general business, there are items A to G, and B, E, and F will all be together. That's what that's what 2-1 Vice Chair 2-1 is saying. So, okay. So now we have the motion to approve, including the ones requested by Vice Chair 2-1. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Dorinda Burnett. I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Have a second?
Sharifa Wahab, second.
Okay. All those in favor to approve now the agenda for tonight, say aye.
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 Okay, is there anyone opposed? Okay. So hearing none, so it is so approved. Agenda for tonight. Now we will move to the informational item section of our agenda. You know, as we are a brand new commission and everyone is willing to learn, it is really very beneficial that we hear from a group that's been there and functioning like us. So I now give the floor to Craig. Craig, the floor is yours now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Craig, for the record, Craig Valdez, for the record. I believed that with the revitalization of our commission, that it would be good to do some research in terms of other entities that function similar to ours. And so upon further research, I came across the Denver AAPI Commission. And so through that, I had connected with Will Chan, who is on this, Jessica from Denver, from City of Denver, and invited them to come and speak to us about their experience, or at least for Jessica to find a representative to come speak about their experience on the Denver AAPI Commission, as well as, you know, what they've learned and, you know, how they function as an organization or as an entity for the City of Denver. And so I believe we're joined here tonight by Rochelle and Will, who are going to provide us with some of their findings and their experience. So I'm going to yield it over to Rochelle.
Thank you, Craig. Hi, everyone. My name, as Craig said, is Rochelle Espiritu, and Will and I are happy to join today. We do have a PowerPoint that I was going to show. I just texted Beatrice to see how do I show my screens. So if I can get access to doing that, I can show a PowerPoint and or we can talk if that doesn't end up working out.
But we're now presenting, Rachel.
Do I need to press something? Because I'm not seeing the option.
I gave you presenter privileges. If you go at the bottom, you could see third little bubble, right? That's, do you see share content?
No, I don't have a share content option.
Do you see that you are the presenter?
No, I didn't have anything pop up saying that I was the presenter.
It might be on top of the screen. I see on top of the screen is a share, is a file edit share.
All right, so I made you a host. Let's see if that works.
I am now a host. Well, okay. Nope, still not seeing something. There might be a block on my computer. So I think we'll just go ahead so that we're not wasting time. And I can mail you the PowerPoints. They're mostly informational. So I can email those to you, Beatrice, after the end of the meeting.
Perfect.
Will, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, then I'll introduce myself and give a little bit of an overview of DAPIC. And then Will can share a bit about our listening session process so that, and then we can, I think, have conversation or Q&A after that.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having us tonight. My name is Will Chan. I am the Director of External Affairs for City and County of Denver's Economic Development and Opportunity. I was a former chair. I have since rolled off of DAPIC, but when I was chair, we were going through similar transitions in terms of the growth and just transition of DAPIC and what its relevancy was to the Denver community. And so, and Rochelle is a chair after me. And so we can discuss a little bit more informally about our experiences with that as well. And just excited to see you guys running and organization for Vegas. I'll pass it back to Rochelle.
Yeah, thanks, Will. I'm still not seeing the share my screen option, so we will just go forward here. So as Will mentioned, I was the chair of DAPIC after he was, well, I can't remember when you started, but I started in 2014. And so have been with the commission for 5 years and will probably be rolling off fairly soon as well myself. But the purpose of the Denver Asian American Pacific Island Commission is to serve as a support liaison and facilitator between the AAPI community in Denver and the Agency for Human Rights and Community Partnerships and the Office of the Mayor of Denver. So we serve as a liaison for those three bodies. The purpose or the goals of our commission are really to increase the visibility of Denver's AAPI population, to connect AAPIs to different kinds of opportunities and resources and tools, and to identify and advocate for AAPI needs. So those are our broad goals of the commission, and we do that in a variety of ways. I did have a slide that has the commission members, so just wanted to also acknowledge that we currently have 14 commission members. And we can expand up to, I think, 20 or 21. It's probably an odd
23.
Number. 23. Yep. I knew it was an odd number. 23 people. So we're kind of we're a little short right now, but it's been a good balance for us so far. And so we've engaged in a variety of different kinds of projects over the years. We had a big kind of social media campaign that was around hashtag AAPI Visible That was a way for us to engage community members and take pictures of themselves and talk about how they want to be visible and how they want to be known in the community. And it's a project that then rotated around to different areas of the city in terms of we created big poster boards of people with their pictures and their statements. And it sat in one of the Denver downtown buildings for a while and got some good traction. We also do have a fairly active Facebook page too, as a way to disseminate information out to the community, that folks can know that we're there, that we're bringing in kind of news national as well that impacts our community and Denver. I think what you're most interested in though, hearing about is our report that we did in 2017 through a of listening sessions, and I'll pass it over to Will to share a little bit about the purpose of what those listening sessions were, what some of the methods were that we used, as well as our general findings.
Thanks, Rochelle. I think another piece I want to add for the commission, the DAPIC commissioners, and our role is really to help inform some policies. And so the mayor, when we were in legislative session, we can advocate for various policy items that we'd like to sign on to, or because we are that liaison between the community and the city and the mayor's office, to provide that feedback for legislative items as well. And so having that purview well. With that said, we went to, as we were kind of rebranding DAPIC, wanted to get a sense of what the community really wanted to hear, and who was a community. I think we have similar populations in Denver where it's just not as big as any of the coastal cities where you have, it's more of a Pan-Asian kind of community. And so with 35 distinct ethnic groups under one like broad monolithic Chinese community, what's the need between the Asian American, Pacific Islanders, and kind of disaggregating those needs. And that was kind of one piece where we wanted to reach out to community, whether it was AAPI serving institutions, ANAPZ institutions, and just institutions that were serving APIs broadly, but may not be solely API focused. And so I think reaching out to various stakeholders to invite them, to let them know that we were a group, a coalition that was around to provide support and advocacy for their needs, but also to like hear things that we may not have addressed in some of the gaps from the community as a liaison. We kind of rallied around, and I don't know if yes, we'll send the report after this presentation as well. We rallied around some key areas that at the time were just national trends, and also trends that we were seeing on a local level as well. So around law and safety, health, immigration, and education. And I think there might've been another category, Rochelle, but again, around main topic areas, and then invited that were specialized in those areas that were, again, concentrated areas where we knew we had API populations and representation and or may have had gaps in addressing API needs specifically. So we sent out, we sent invites to a vast array of groups, and the commission broke up into two different listening sessions because of the overwhelming response that we had. Themes in the chat. It was overwhelming, but it was just showed the need for the commission to serve as that liaison to the community. I think there was overwhelming response to kind of better address how to serve also like the cultural sensitivities, awareness of API needs in all of those sectors, and how to better align with our goals to just bring visibility to these issues and just draw broader coalitions across the Denver metro area. And so we were able to send out, after the invite, we drafted up questions that we sent to all the groups to keep it consistent for our report. and just had a public kind of presentations where they addressed the 10 to 20 had and just addressed anything from what are the needs that you're seeing for API to demographic needs to again, like after the presentation with our questions, really dig into some of the more nuanced and detailed concerns that we had as commissioners that we wanted to address further in terms of programs, initiatives, direct service, and even for help us inform future policy as well. So that took a day, a full day, that we, as volunteer commissioners, kind of took day off to do this work. And the presentations were back to back, 15 minutes each. And then it was a great way for us to build new partnerships within the community, kind of introduce ourselves to new groups, but also helped us in those partnerships develop lean on them in the future work that the commission was working on. So I think that's kind of the listening sessions as a whole. We have not updated it, but again, from those listening sessions, it were things that were anecdotal that we knew were going on. But again, having that data and that direct feedback from community was so informative and helpful for us to lean on. To inform kind of future items within the city and the human rights and community partnerships. I think having them as kind of that liaison to help us move pieces forward, that their main job is to like work for representation for vulnerable communities. I think it was also like, helpful to have them as an ally to help us organize on the back end, kind of the times, that structure, and so that we were just there to help with the listening piece. And so Jessica, who Greg had mentioned earlier, is our staff liaison for the commission, and she was able to like provide a lot of logistic support as well to get it off the ground. Is there anything I'm missing, Rochelle?
I guess I would just share what our overarching recommendations were as a result of the listening sessions, and they were essentially to the recommendations were to ensure that culturally responsive training would be available to city and county Denver employees, that there was a real clear gap in terms of data gathering. So of the participants who shared information with us, often they did not have disaggregated data. It was just kind of the category of AAPIs and did not go deeper into any of the ethnicities. So we had recommended that the various systems in Denver should be collecting program and service information by ethnicity, and that language access was a really big barrier for our community. And so to develop and implement a citywide language access policy. Those were our three overarching recommendations that came out of the listening sessions. So Craig, we're happy to answer any questions that your commission might have for us, either about the report or anything else about our commission and the work that we do. Or
I have the first question. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us. And I think that it is very appreciative of you taking the time to be on this call. The first question is how often that you meet as a group? And then the second part of it is, do you get any funding from the city or anywhere else?
Yeah, so we meet on a monthly basis. Obviously during COVID, our commission actually is not allowed to meet unless we have a quorum for people to meet in person, which is interesting. We met for a while virtually, and then the laws changed or they figured out something was wrong with us meeting virtually. And so we are now on a break right now. But we have meetings every like the third Wednesday of every night. And like yours, our meetings are open to the public, so people can come in. We are, sorry, I forgot your second question.
No, actually, when you said that every Tuesday of the week or
no, of the month. Once a month.
Once a month. The second question is, do you get any funding?
Yes, we do. I don't remember the exact amount. Will?
$1,000 allocation every year for every commission. And so there are 10 different commissions for the representative of different ethnic groups and vulnerable communities for the mayor. And each group gets $1,000 to spend every year.
And then sometimes we get some extra funds, like the performance arts had extra funds that they allocated to each of the commissions, and they allowed us to give out mini grants. And so we went through a process of accepting applications from various groups that wanted to do some kind of arts or cultural project related to AAPI visibility. And so we as a commission accepted applications, voted on them, and then distributed small mini grants to different groups across the city.
The commission can also accept sponsorships. So there's other commissions that have been successful in leveraging sponsorships for events and just other partnerships. And so getting extra funding for, if needed, for other priorities.
Couple of questions for you, if you're done already, Tuan. How long is your term? It's the first one. And then my second question is, how does your commission work with the Asian business community in Denver? Thank you.
So I rolled off. So my terms were two consecutive three-year terms. But there's also staggered. So there's just to keep the cadence in the turnover with the commission. So other commissions, commissioners start with three 2-year terms. So with the option to opt out after each of those or option to renew. The commissioner, are appointees of the mayor. And so it the names are passed up to city for review. So we have a mayor strong system in Denver, and city council reviews those names and then that the mayor recommends. And then once they approve, then get appointed to serve that finite time.
Thank you.
And then Rochelle, do you want to talk about businesses or?
Yeah, so we engage with business in different ways. Like, so, and Will, you might remember the name of this better. It was Dora. It was the effort. Yeah, there was an effort around, there's a particular area in Denver that has a large Asian community, kind of like the Vietnamese, kind of a lot of Vietnamese restaurants in this one area of Denver. And there was interest in improving the infrastructure, the physical buildings of some of the restaurants and other grocery store markets there. So we did engage and work with the city and with the businesses for that project. And we usually have, we have a connection with the Asian business commerce. What are they called? Well,
Asian Chamber of Commerce.
Asian yes. Chamber.
Yes, that. So we have connections, and even our listening session, we had presenters that were representative of AAPI businesses. For instance, we had the kind of the Asian American Restaurant Association group presented to us, so we could kind of understand what was going on with them. So in different ways, like sometimes even businesses will reach out to our commission if there is a challenge that they're having around kind of awareness about AAPI issues. So they'll come to us sometimes to help navigate relations with the community. So we're both a resource and try to be a partner as well.
And to that program that Rochelle talked about, it was, again, passed on from different commissioners that had rolled off. And so the work has continued for over, I think, a decade. So there were, it was with the Denver Urban Renewal Authority, and so there were funds through community development block grants that were trying to improve and have infrastructure improvements for physical facade improvements for business corridors. And this little business Saigon district, just doing outreach to the business owners, just because as kind of volunteer like representatives of government, there's trust building that needs to happen, and so we were able to be the sort of informed opportunities that were there and help answer any questions. And so commissioners had held community roundtables, did a lot of outreach. And so by the time that we had stepped in to kind of see this project through the finish line, a lot of that feedback was just kind of reaching out to landlords that were absentee landlords. We're actually in Vegas that we were having difficulty times. Reaching out just to say the businesses, and this was a piece where a lot of them were renting. So they weren't landlords or owners. And so they didn't, but they wanted to improve, get better sidewalks, better facade improvements. And it was just like little like investment. And so getting that buy-in from the landlord and having that connection, having those conversations. And we had a very like tight time by the time we were working on that piece to see it through. But again, directing opportunities to community that we're hearing from the city and having that kind of city connection is helpful.
Yeah, I think the other thing I'd add too, in the time of COVID, we had some ad hoc kind of groups develop within our commission to be responsive to the business needs of AAPIs in Denver. So for instance, we knew that restaurants were really impacted by the pandemic. And so we created kind of a user-driven database of all of different kinds of AAPI businesses in Denver that were still open and operating as a way to raise community awareness about these particular businesses and to drive people to support them. So we're a pretty flexible and nimble group that, again, we're all volunteers. So we just kind of, when there's an issue that comes up that some of us are passionate about, we'll kind of just pull together and figure out a way to coordinate and raise awareness about the impact on the API community.
I think the only piece I pulled off right when COVID happened. So I think another piece is like outside of outreach, and from the city as a city employee and how commissioners, especially the ethnic commissions, are kind of resources is just having those relationships with communities to like, again, help various programs. And so the small business relief programs, patio expansions, things of that nature. But it's also like raising up issues right at the beginning of the pandemic, where there's a lot of kind of racial bias motivated crimes towards AAPI populations. And I remember the commission had raised up a lot of those issues to the mayor's office so that the mayor could do a PSA and say, this is not what Denver represents, and like build that support. And so again, having that two-way conduit.
Good, thank you.
Hi, this is Arun. I have a question. Since we are a new commission, I would ask that if you have any suggestions on how to do some kind of fundraising if you want to do some project. Any suggestions or ideas on that?
Sure. I think I would really recommend starting listening sessions just to hear what are the community partners that you might have to establish relationships already. Like, you guys are all coming in from different hats and have different kind of people that networks that you can lean on first as like a new like commission and just like getting momentum. Like, if you're with a bank, you can easily get sponsorships and that would be an easy like low hanging fruit. But if you're trying to create a new development plan, I would just recommend having data and stats, especially now in the current landscape that we have with COVID and funds are more limited just in terms of sponsorships and just donations in general, that you have data to drive what your initiatives are and why you need that money for those efforts.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We have not done the best at raising funds. The commission doesn't do a lot of that. I mean, we really do. We do focus more on kind of information dissemination, connection, the advocacy piece that Will was talking about with the mayor's office. So we're not a huge kind of like fundraising kind of commission. I don't know that any of the other commissions do a lot of that either, but I'm not as familiar.
There's two of them that do, but it's really based on kind of initiatives that they've had. So the Indian Commission has a film series, and so they get a lot of in-kind donations and it's like such a strong tangible deliverable of what the series is. And so getting funds to donate for the film to get the space. And so that's one approach, that commission that has kind of been successful in that fundraising piece. The LGBTQ Commission is the other one that I think has devoted a lot of resources towards fundraising, but again, it's what your commission wants to do. And so I think the more program driven, event driven commissions do a lot more fundraising because it's their prerogative. And it's like, and that's one of their goals. And of event based activities that they raise money for. And so they have a lot of happy hours. Like, this is like a stereotype, but like, and it's like, again, it's more event-based kind of work than I think our commission, the DAPIC commission, kind of veered off from that in terms of more towards the advocacy lens, I think, in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, but wanted to first thank you, Rochelle and Will, for joining us today. I have a few questions, but I'll ask it one at a time. That way you don't get lost or anything like that. I know, Rochelle, you talked a little bit about this in terms of COVID in regards to helping businesses. But I also wanted to know in what other ways the commission helped out underserved communities related to COVID and during COVID, especially during the time of like xenophobia and racism. And in your efforts, also approach census outreach.
We actually have a very strong connection with census outreach because one of our commissioners is a regional census staff person, and so she is constantly bringing information back to us and encouraging us to. We've partnered with like one of the Asian human resource services types of organizations and like help to disseminate information about census training and really spreading the word around census materials that are in language, as are on our Facebook page. And so we're pretty well connected with census because of this one commissioner's job. In terms of COVID, as Will mentioned, we did do the advocacy in terms of lifting up the awareness of the kind of racist acts that Asians in Denver were experiencing. We also did, in addition to kind of highlighting the businesses, we also did some of our commissioners were also driving around and dropping things off at different like elderly, like highlighting the needs of the elderly. Because the elderly, I mean, anywhere really, are so isolated and scared, so that we kind of organized getting resources and foods and cleaning some PPEs, you know, just all those kinds of things for different communities that we knew were really isolated. Can't really think of anything else right now, but those were the main things that we have done. Is kind of really, it's around lifting up awareness and connecting to those vulnerable populations.
And just for census right now, I know a lot of the state funds and the city funds, a lot of the outreach funds were for in-person events. And so a lot of organizations are kind of, they need to spend it down, obviously. And so it's a good opportunity just to reach out to groups that you know have received census funds, just to partner up. And so I know for the Latino Commission, they were able to do a lowriders and census kind of information session where it was just like drive-bys on lowriders, just promoting awareness. Also like partnering with like the hospitals, and so all people are getting tested. I know there's been a lot of census outreach during that, during those pieces while people are waiting in line, right? And just waiting for hours. And for me and the city, food banks is another piece during COVID right now, where it's the only place we're seeing people, especially communities of color, kind of gravitating towards. And so partnering with food banks to do census outreach while people are waiting to get food, like anywhere that where people are actually waiting, it'd be a good opportunity for census.
The other place that we partnered with, this wasn't related to census, was with Denver Public Schools. And so we have kind of identified particular schools in Denver where there are higher percentages of the AAPIs. And so we have kind of tried to be intentional about our relationships with them. We also have received requests from kind of some of the Native Hawaiian populations in Denver that are struggling, their kids are struggling in schools. And so we're hoping to navigate some of the systems that they have to go through for that as well.
Got it. Thank you so much. That was really helpful and informative. And I hope some of our members are writing those notes down. The other question that I have was, I know you mentioned issues of interest that you listed here in the chat. I know you touched a little bit about it in terms of economic development, but can you provide like a specific example where the commission participated in advocacy or policy making efforts related to these issues of interest?
Okay, I gotta pull up the issues again. So right now we are doing some work with the one of our commissioners is a professor at the University of Denver and has a particular interest in kind of secondary education for AAPIs. And so we're partnering with him and Denver Public Schools to look at disaggregated data, because it's never reported in DPS, because they always say our percentages are too low. And so what we're doing is we're looking at disaggregated data to help identify where some disparities might exist, and then to be able to then advocate for these students based on what our findings are. But we don't have them yet, Craig. So we're in this process right now of DPS doing the deeper dive, and then we'll be running focus groups with AAPI students and families to also enhance that data as well. Well, I mean, what else would you say in terms of advocacy in healthcare, in education, legal or immigration or economic development?
I think we've been able to like build again allyship with other commissioners. And so for, I know like signing on to their bills, that are more for their commissions, but like, again, on BIPOC communities. And so I know when we have like LGBT rights, like discrimination bills that were up, we had signed that. For the youth piece, like that disaggregated data, like to have API kind of curriculums in place for higher ed institutions and also K-12. And so there are moments where we piggyback and kind of, it's not, again, not API specific because we're like broader, really working in partnership with other commissioners where there's interest, their interest with ours. And if there is momentum on their piece, then we can also like join in support, picking up their voice as well as ours.
Nice. That is all valuable information. Thank you. The last question I have is related to, I know, Will, you talked about how the terms of each commissioner are, some of them are staggered. So knowing that, you know, we have a mutual interest in New American Leaders, how do commissioners prepare folks who are going to replace them?
So we've worked a bit on that, Craig, because we knew we had to kind of build our infrastructure, and I'm happy share some of the materials that we developed around this, but we created a buddy program. You know, we kind of wanted to make sure each new commission was assigned, a commissioner was assigned to a seasoned commissioner who helped onboard with them, had lunch or coffee with them a couple times, especially during their early time on the commission. We also are really intentional about trying to create our culture. So each of our meetings starts off with a community builder as a way to create our own commission culture. And that we all get to know each other as human beings in the work. We also try to make sure that we spend some time socially outside. Well, that has changed, obviously, but you know, we try to at least do something on a quarterly basis or in celebration of a big event, you know, or you know, a big project that we did, to make sure that we celebrate our accomplishments together. And we also have figured out a rotating way of interviewing new commissioners. So for a while it was kind of haphazard, you know, like you got an application and just whoever was available kind of did an interview. But what we've done is broken our commission into small groups that were kind of, we rotated around responsibility for interviewing new commissioners. And then presenting back to the group on the person. And so we're kind of, you know, slowly building our infrastructure and processes to help us be more streamlined and effective.
So how many members do you actually have?
So right now we have, hang on, let me go back to the slide too. We have 14 currently.
14, okay.
But we can go up to 23, as well said.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions from any other members?
Yeah, Katie, what's the Asian population in Denver right now?
Do you mean?
Just upload an image, place your order. You didn't show up.
Well, do you know what the population is? I know the percentage is right under 4% of the Denver population, so it's a small percentage, but I don't know the number offhand.
About 250,000 in the state, and then in Denver County, I can't remember. My head, but yeah, it's about 5% of the population. It reflects, I think state is a little bit larger, it might be like 8%, and then city is around 5-6%.
So I know it's totally different for Las Vegas. In fact, as a side note, my parents retired to Henderson, so they live out there, and I'm out there often. Not right now.
So we understand now all your functions. Right now, we have many AAPI organizations in place that are actually functioning, you know, doing all the things that you have mentioned. Now, the way we were, the way this was done, this commission is to actually work on having a physical place wherein all of those resources are available at one place. So they have one place to go. Whatever needs they have, they know they have a place to go, and it will be that. That is the why we are here. So I see that. I see all the things that you are doing will actually be very helpful if it's also like, hopefully we're gonna have that in the near future, that everything in one place. So yeah, we are really learning, we learned a lot from you tonight. And thank you so much, Craig, for you know, communicating with them. Do we have any other question for them?
Yes, I have a question. Yes, this is Dorinda. My question is, this commission has been working good 10 years on this, right? So you have a mindset that is different from ours. This is our first year, our first season in commissioners. So is there any advice you can give us looking forward, taking all the tools that you've given us, your initial year that you started, how can we make this successful for future terms?
I feel like I'll speak first, because I think Rochelle has done a really good job of sustaining the commission and the momentum. So when I became chair, and I became chair like pretty much right away, because we were at we were kind of like starting from scratch. The old guard of API in the commission had just left the commission. So we had a big vacuum that we needed to fill. I think we had done a huge piece of recruiting in my first year, and then really just boots on the ground, a lot more like work in terms of reaching out to communities to like understand what those needs are. And I think that will just be helpful for you guys in terms of building relationships and just kind of visibility for your commission in the community, just will be helpful generally. I think that would be a good place to start. When Rochelle became chair was when we were able to take a lot of that information. She was the first, she made a strategic plan for us to like have a guiding doc to work towards for the next decade and beyond. And so again, noticing the sustainability of, okay, well, these are great ideas that we heard. You might term out and at some point and you might not be interested in this. We wanted to like make sure that we had documentation and foundations for that recruitment of these are the things that are guiding principles. So people, again, like it was an easy collateral piece to see what our goals were, so that they saw interest in the document, a way for them to participate. It was a great recruiting piece and just kind of elevator pitch. But also gave like I think just for the commission sustainability, like volunteer commissions are just hard to sustain. And then having something formalized is just helpful because you have a goal to work towards. I think when the strategic plan, like we had a lot of ideas in the beginning. So I think what has happened in the years since then was really just focusing in on one or two initiatives for the year, one or two partners, and just where is it the focus for the commission and where are the skill sets you guys have? So I think in that early recruitment year was also like seeing the strength that you have as a group of like where your networks are. What are your skills? Like, is there more marketing skills? Is there more fundraising? Like, I wouldn't like go into the fundraising piece if you don't have anyone that's like already like adept at that, right? Like, there's no surefire way to do this work. But it's just what drove you to be on the commission and what's driving you now to moving forward and tapping on that and encouraging those conversations amongst your commission so that you guys can kind of like a better rapport to like work towards a goal. But do you want to speak more? I think you did a lot to like kind of bring the commission to like where it is today.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, I do think that strategic planning is important. So I would recommend you actually go through a process of strategic planning for, you know, you can choose what your time frame is. Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? But really kind of coming up with 2 to 3 concrete goals that can help guide you regardless of what the composition of your commission is, because interests will change, but you know, as long as you can have that North Star to help guide the group, that I think that's really helpful. I think the other thing to do is, you know, you're new right now, and as you think about new members coming in, to be really strategic about what the composition of the commission looks like. Like, don't just invite all of your friends into the commission, but really take some time to look at what's the age range of your commission. Like, ours is trending younger right now, and we're recognizing that we're missing kind of the voice of, you know, the 60-plus-year-old like segment in our commission. And so we take a look each year at who is on our commission in terms of age, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of competencies, in terms of sector that they're in. So you do some of that mapping, which I think is really important because you want a well-rounded, diverse group to bring in different perspectives, different experiences into the work. And I think too that our commissions are fortunate. I think this past year or the year before, our chair's professional development around facilitation, around strategic planning, around a couple things that help around group process, which I think is really important. I happen to come with it because that is work I do. And so it was an easy lend for me, but you know, not all the chairs of all commissions have that. And so it was a nice infrastructure kind of thing, support was given to all of the commissions as well.
Okay, thank you so much. There's another presentation after this, so hopefully that's it. And really, we are very, very thankful for everything that you've said tonight. We are, as I've said, we are still in the learning process because we're brand new. Thank you so much.
Feel free to reach out to any of us.
Yeah, I'm putting in my email, so feel free to reach out if you have any follow-up questions.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes. Okay.
Good luck, guys. Now,
okay, we proceed. The, you know, we have many resources available in, you know, around us, but there is one also, one group, you know, leading us also in providing resources. So may I now call on, give the floor to Vida to introduce her team at ACDC.
Yeah, let me say a couple of things first before I...
Okay, thanks, Tuan. Okay, go ahead, Tuan.
Community service can have a lot of positive effects on people within the community. Community service is essential in helping the community to grow. It also allows people within the community to connect. Asian Community Development Council, or ACDC, has been offering services and assistance free of charge to the AAPI community in Nevada for many years. We are fortunate to have the founder, president and CEO of ACDC as the member of this commission. Vida Lynn, thank you for your dedications and your service to the community. And if you don't mind, may I ask you to introduce the next presenter of our program. Thank you.
So much, Tuan. That's very nice introduction. We've been around for 5 years and we have done many service in the community. We do have our center at Shanghai Plaza, but I'm here to introduce Antu, who's Director of Strategic Initiative. And she's been with us for only 10 months, but I can tell you she has done great work in a very short time. Besides us registering people to vote, making sure our community fill out the census, one of the programs that we have is the Citizen Assistant Program, which we got, when Antu came on board, she came on board to help us do voter registration and civil engagement. And shortly we pushed her into a citizenship because we know how important that is. And that service that we have, I want to make sure that we recognize her and she can talk a little bit about what we do, one of the programs that she's involved with. So take it away, Antu.
Thank you so much, Vida. And I just want to add, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman Tuan Pham, for giving me this opportunity to share with everyone about our services that we have at ACDC. So one of the programs that we have here at ACDC, does everyone see the slide? Yes?
Yeah, we could see it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we could.
All right. I hope that you or your family, friends, or your respective community could benefit from the information I will share. So one of the programs that we have at ACDC is helping the LPR apply for citizenship. And of course, we do it for free. We do have an attorney, immigration attorney at our organization to give any type of legal advice, anything regarding with their LPR status or citizenship. We also help apply for low-income family that they may be qualified for fee waiver. The fee right now for the application is $725, and they are talking about raising that price up to $1,100, probably end of this year. So we do have assistance to apply for reduce the fee and half price or a fee waiver. It depends on your family income. And we also have translator. If you're uncomfortable speaking English or you want to speak in other languages, we have translator in Tagalog, Mandarin, Korean, Thai, Spanish, and Vietnamese. You can call us anytime. Our office is open from 10 to 3 p.m. Sunday to Saturday, every day of the week, with appointment only. And the citizenship is when to qualify to apply for citizenship is you have to be a green card holder and be in the United States or have your green card for at least 5 years. If you came over with by family petition or you married to a U.S. citizen, then you only have to wait until 3 years. And you can apply for citizenship as early as 3 months early to the 3-year mark. That is one of our programs that we have at ACDC. And another big program that we have is to register people to vote during this pandemic time. Since we can't go out, everyone's at home, so we help people register online. You can do it at home. I have the website right here at the screen, and there's a barcode on the side. That's a QR code. You can turn on your camera and just scan that barcode and we'll take you directly to the website. It's a nonprofit website through SOS, is the Secretariat of State. It will help you update your information. If you change your name, your address, or you want to change your political party information, you can go into this website and register or update your register information. And I just want to let you know that, you know, we volunteer through the primary, and it's been really crazy that I know Nevada is a one-day registration. You can register on the same day that you vote. I would suggest that you should register before voting day, because wait until the day that you vote will be really crazy. We were there to 3 a.m. in the morning to help people register to vote on the primary election. And you can register as early as 17 years of age, and you have to be at least 18 years old on the day that we vote, which is November 3rd of this year. And then the next program that we have is help people register for enrollment for their health insurance. During this time, a lot of people have lost their job and lost their health benefits. We have Health Navigator at our organization help to choose which insurance is you know, best need for your family, affordable for your family. We have different languages there to translate or to assist you with. So these are the programs that we have, and these are the phone numbers that you could reach us for each of the different program. So if anyone have any questions.
So I also want to mention that during this whole COVID-19, I know Onto is very, there's so many projects that we did, and I want to also recognize Twan for introducing her to us. So we're very lucky that we have her. So thank you, Twan. During the COVID-19, we do a lot of things like translating for the governors, for the essential rules. People that call us and say, we need us to change and translate for our community. So we did that. Also what we did was we were passing out masks and food for the frontliner. So we have been doing a lot of things, but we love the idea of helping the community. And we love working with a different partner. So we have reached out to like Twan with the Vietnamese community to get help in other groups, and we need that. We need us to come together. Let us know how we can help you, because we need the service that we can do this. And I want to thank again for Antu for this great presentation. But this just gives an a little idea what we do besides the youth program, graduation, and also the college readiness boot camp, just to name a few things. So you can go on our website, but let us know how we can help our community. We need that support to support each other. So if you have any questions, please ask.
And I just want to add that we are nonpartisan and nonprofit.
No question, but I do have a comment. First, I just wanted to thank both of you and the other people from ACDC that's in the call for all you do. And then second, I just wanted to say, Anne, you did a great job for somebody who was nervous. Good job.
Thank you. You can tell.
All right.
So I have a question for you, Anne. Is there somehow like an increase in people like, losing their health insurance during this pandemic? So they actually, run to Nevada Health Link, for help?
Yes. So there are some qualifications that they are qualified to get the health insurance the health link, which is losing their job if they have moved to Nevada, new resident, or got married or had a baby in the family. So there are some few exceptions that they are qualified for the health health link with the insurance. So just reach us that call us those number at that number, and we will have people that help them right away.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions?
Well, thank you so much, Antu. And I just want to recognize that I think Zui is also on the call. And between Vida and Zui, I think that you are the driving force for ACDC. We are grateful for you to provide the service that the community really needed. And again, I wanted to congratulate both of you. Zui and Vida, and also Antu, did a good job. We are very
proud of you.
Thank you.
That's a great political move, Antu. just to let you guys know, make sure you fill out the census. We're only at 61%, and we need bigger numbers. We need our community to fill out the census. We need the funding. So let's all get together and push that message out.
Okay. how about Dewey? Will he say hi at least or greet us at least? Is he still on?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Vice Chair. It's really great to be on here. I'm just here to really support my team member who just did a presentation to you all. Here we're here at ACDC. We already have our founder represent us on your commission, but we all have to work together as a community, and we really need to push for our voice to be heard at the table. And I really applaud all the commissioner on here for all of your work. And please reach us out to us if you need us to assist. We are here to help, and let's get more API representation in all level of government. So I really trust that this commission will, in the long run, will create more leaders in all level of our local, regional, and state government. So thank you again to the leadership of Madam Chair and Mr. Thank Vice you. Chair, the rest of the commission.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And for the rest of the members of the commission, you could also recommend presentations in future meetings. We've had like this, we had presentation of ACDC. We also had presentation Asian Chamber. We had presentation from UNLV. So just inform us if you also want to have presentation coming from you or your organization, or any recommendations. Okay, thank you. So now we will move to the next section of our agenda, which is general business. So the first one would be an update from the research team. And before I call on him, we'd like to thank everyone for the submissions of data that's needed for the report. They are now being worked on by the researchers. And a collaboration is now in place, and Craig will tell us about it. Go ahead, Craig.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. A few weeks back, Divya and I recently met with two UNLV professors. First, Dr. Constancio Arnaldo, who is the Assistant Professor of Asian American Studies, as well as Dr. Mark Padungpat, who is the Director of Asian American Studies at UNLV, who will be working with Octavio and Jean in our mutual effort to produce a comprehensible report on the AAPI community, as well as provide their expertise, knowledge, and wisdom in terms of what that will look like as we prepare to present that to the commissioners. That's the only update that I have. Divya, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, well, just that, you know, both of these professors are individually working on essentially the same things that we're trying to accomplish with the commission. And so they bring a lot of knowledge and expertise to the table and making sure that all of our efforts are kind of aligned at the same level as well. So it was a great conversation. Definitely looking forward to their participation in some of the efforts that we're undertaking. One of the professors is also looking to do a podcast series and collecting API stories in our state. So if anyone on the commission is interested in connecting with them and learning more about that, I think this is a great opportunity for us to further collaborate outside of some of the things that we're doing on the commission too.
Okay, thank you, Craig and Divya, for that. And we already met them. We had a very good meeting with them. So they are now in collaborating with the research team. So thank you so much for them. Okay, so we now go to the next one, which is to discuss the drafting of final report. And in the beginning of the meeting, The B, E, and F will all be together in this presentation. So I'll now give the floor to Tuan, who will present the B, E, and F. Thank you.
So, should you go with C, D, and then I just take it after D?
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm sure they don't mind too. So let's now get an update, if there's any update from the commission's fundraising efforts and finances.
I yield my time to Tuan's group. We have no updates at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sunny. And the next one is an update from the commission's public relations, media, and events. Go ahead, Rica.
I forgot to unmute.
Okay.
So I'm going to be calling on the rest of the team in this committee to discuss the resource conference okay. that will come up towards the end of the year. So I'm going to be doing that in the next week.
Okay. Thank you, Rica. So now it's your turn, Tuan. Do you want us to do the letter first?
I think that, you know, we're going to do it together.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Okay.
As you all know, with the help of our commission member, Sony Vinuaya, President of the Asian Chamber of Commerce, ACC was able to secure a professional team to write a report on our behalf. So here is the timeline regarding the submissions of the final report. So we were able to speak with Octavio's and Jean a little bit earlier, and this is the timeline. We're trying to pressing the first draft of the report by July 31st. This could be an issue though, because, you know, according to what they say, they said that, you know, it's not due until 31st of August, which is, or 30th of August, which is way too late. So we need to push it to July 31st. However, after speaking with the team yesterday, They may need some additional time, but we firmly require to have it done by at least by August 7. So upon receiving the first draft, we will immediately send it out to all the member to review. We will vote to approve the draft at our monthly meeting on August 12. Should it pass on the meeting, it becomes a final report. However, should any of us want to add or remove any part of the report, then it needs to be sent back to the team for revisions. If that is the case, we will need to have a special meeting that will be taking place on August 26 to approve the final draft before forwarding it to BBC on the deadline of August 31st. So here is what we need your help to get the report done on time. Beatrice, if you could bring up the AAPI research form, the final data review, if you don't mind. So as you see there, the pink color on the chart is still missing some information. And then also that the yellow, that highlight in yellow, that also partially missing. So we ask that if you could volunteer researching the community who are still missing the information, please help us to provide this information to Margie or Greg or even me so we can speed it up the report. Please submit the information no later than July 13. This would help the writing team tremendously because they don't have to take the time to research this information. So I urge you to see that if you could help out, if you volunteer for the community that is still missing, please make an effort to provide it to the team so we can make sure that it's going to be finished on time. Any question regarding the timeline of the reports? No question? Okay, so now let's go to the outline of the report. Can I ask Bree to bring up the outline? All right. So as you see that this one is the outline of the report. For the first one, the cover, and it is, you know, self-explanatory, the contents and credit, welcome letter. For this welcome letter, we were thinking of maybe asking Commissioner Siegelblum to probably writing in joint with the commissions to have the welcome letter, and that, you know, we're going to work on in detail to see that what form of welcome letter that we're going to have. But I thought that, you know, it could be a good idea to have the commissioners writing a joint letter with our commissions to present it on the welcome letter. Next item is the forward letter. And again, on this particular item, I wanted to thank you, Greg and Divya, for, you know, who have successfully requested the two UNLV professor, as he mentioned earlier, to participate in our report. Dr. Constancio Arnaldo and Dr. Mark Papunpat, the two of them will be participated into writing a forward letter, including with Rosita, Ms. Rosita Lee. So with that, I think it would enhance the credibility of our report. And again, I want to thank you, Craig and Divya, for make that happen. So the next, you know, the next item on the outline is the executive summary and then overview of the AAPICC demographics in Clark County area, for 5 pages of AAPICC, And the rest is very, very much self-explanatory. So Jean and Munson, I mean, Jean Munson and Octavio Posada, with the two professors will somehow work together, and hopefully that it will present us on time. And we are working on the schedule to make sure that it's gonna get to us hopefully by July 31st. So hopefully that we will get it done. And as I said earlier, that if it is the case, and then we should be able to vote it on the 12th. All right, any question on that? Any question on the outline?
I'd like to make mention to everyone, the what you have shown, the first one that you have shown where it's showing missing information or partial information. I know you've received that in your email. So hopefully you could refer to that if you still have anything that you could, you know, be able to submit. As Doan said, it will be very, very helpful to speed this up. And so really July 31st is really very tight for them. So as I see, it's been moved to August 7th. So meaning we would be looking at the draft of the report probably during our meeting. So that during our meeting, that is when we will be able to figure out, you know, any additions, revisions, you know, whatever that needs to be done on the draft. So it could require us to have a special meeting. That means because we have to approve the final draft or the final report before it is submitted to the board of the BCC. So so what will happen in our next meeting, we will be able to decide if we need a special meeting or not. If everything is already okay by our meeting in next month, that means it's already a go, then we don't need a special meeting. But hopefully everyone could still, if you still have anything that you could submit, is there, Tuan, is there the deadline to have all the submissions probably next week?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, that if you could have it done and forwarded it either to Greg, Margie, or myself, please do it as soon as possible. But I think that if we could do it prior to July 13, that would be great.
Okay. All right. Is there any question from the rest of the body?
All right, so I guess that there's no question. Let's move on. Item E on the agenda.
So I'm that so is sorry. The time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. Hi, everyone. I really apologize, this is Sharifa Wahab. I'm so sorry I missed the last meeting too, because what happened suddenly in the May, that wasn't in my schedule, but I have a emergency brain surgery. And that's why I am really far away from everybody. I couldn't talk for almost a month. Actually, still, I'm not supposed to move till about two more weeks. And if I, dear Margie, I'm so sorry if I just behind everything. If anything, please let me know and please update me for the last, from the last meeting too. I apologize if I'm speaking really slow. I really apologize because I'm not even allowed to talk too much. But if I have anything I'm working on, if any missing with those two for Bangladesh and Afghanistan, I will fix it and send it.
Okay. Really thank you, Sharifa.
Behind. Thank you so much.
Okay. Really thank you, Sharifa. And take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharifa. Hopefully that you get recuperate to join us again.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so go on item E, which is the timeline of the commission's duties. So between now and the end of our terms, we have two major items that need to accomplish by the end of our terms. The feasibility study and to host the resource conference associated with the creations of the Asian Cultural Center. We will need to start working on the feasibility study as soon as our next meeting on August 12th. The deadline for the study must be done, I hope, by the end of the year, which is December 31st. Due to the pandemic, we may not be able to have the resource conference in January as planned, but we will make an effort to have it, the conference, sometime in April. And this will depend very much on how the pandemic play out.
Yeah.
Any question on this timeline? And if any comments, any question or any comment for the two?
I'd like to add something to one that there would have been a presentation that was supposed to be done by Pastor Allen. That's related to the feasibility study, but because of we have many presentations tonight that are very important, to us and to the community, it's been decided that he will do it in our next meeting. So, yeah, just to let everyone know.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I'd like to take this opportunity to ask all of you to help out, to participate, and to make an effort for us to finish our term successfully. The majority of our members have been working very hard, and as all of us know, that we're working very hard for this. And I know that we had some setback in the beginning due to the unfamiliar structure and working conditions of the commissions. That is understandable, and that will take some time to adjust and get used to our working conditions and establishing the working relationship among ourselves, among our members. So please reach out to Margie and I, your leaders, or even the county staff to express any concern or any comment that you may have. I'm sure that whatever it is, we should be able to work it out for us to accomplish our common goal, which is to serve the community. And I look forward to working with you to finish our term successfully. And I just ask you to, if you have any concern, any comments, please reach out to us and make sure that we can share the issues, and hopefully that we can put ourselves in the positions to make this term a successful term. I look forward to working with you to finish our term and to go on with whatever that we have in mind. Any question or comment?
I have a comment.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to comment about our vice chair. I'm so fortunate to have him as my vice chair. It doesn't matter if it's 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. It doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Saturday or a holiday or not a holiday. If we need to coordinate and we need to do things, he is there. As I've said, regardless of day, time, what date it is, I'm so happy to have you two, one of my vice chair. So,
thank you so much for your kind word, Madam Chair. All right, finishing it up, item F, we're only talking about it. This is actually regarding to the special sessions that we may have. So as I said earlier, this may not be necessary should we pass the draft on August 12th. And hopefully that I pray for it. Hopefully that we're gonna pass on the first draft and it's going to be done. Otherwise, if we don't pass on that day, and if any revisions that we need to do, and then we will have a special meeting sessions on August 26th. And at that time, after the revisions of the report done, then we're going to need to vote it again to make sure that we will be on time to submit it to the commissioners, the BCC. So That's it for my presentation today. And again, I thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to working with every single one of you.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to hopefully that, you know, we're gonna make this a successful one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And once we're done with the report, that's already one third out of the way. We just have to work on the other two, the feasibility and the resource conference. So, okay, let's proceed. All of you received a copy of a letter here. I know you have this. And we need an approval of the body. If you're approving to get this out, meaning we could actually email this, you know, to people, to our network. So have you read the letter? Okay. So okay. So it's actually just letting know of the community that we care. You know, we care for them. It's something to do with, you know, the pandemic that we are in right now. It's also appealing to them to follow whatever the governor, all the guidelines publicly issued by our governor. And it's also asking every member of the AAPI community to be counted by the census. So it's like a general letter, just showing appealing to them, showing that we care. So is this something that you would like us to, it's signed by everyone. It's signed by the Asian American Pacific Islanders Community Commission. So is this something that you want out? Let's vote on it. Is there a motion to approve the release of this letter?
My name is Vera, and I approved this letter to go out, and I think it should have gone out a long time ago. So it's great that we're going to do this.
Yeah.
This is Sunny Vinuya, a second.
Okay, thank you. So all those in favor to get this letter released, say aye.
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 Okay. So unanimous. Thank you so much. So this letter is thus approved for release. Okay, thank you so much. And so now we would typically go to the second portion of public comment. So due to the COVID-19 county closures are in effect, and this meeting is not being held in person. Anyone wishing to provide public comment could have emailed the county staff as indicated on the agenda by 4 p.m. today. All public comments received can be seen on our website right now at clarkcountynv.gov. Anyone wishing to speak at this time who has not already submitted comments in writing can speak now.
Hi, Margie. It's Arlene Martebra for the record. ArlenMarkTheBrack, address is 4446 Honeybrook Court, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89147. Just wanted to do a quick plug for and shout out to Thai Culture Foundation. They are currently one of the groups, if not the only groups, making black masks for Metro. And they're offering to volunteer their time to create masks for anyone that would like to donate the materials for them to create it free of charge. So just wanted to put that out there for the community to know in case anyone is looking for some very nice folks to make them some great masks. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. I think there's one more who wants to speak.
Hi, yes, good afternoon, everyone. This is Vivian Arola. I just wanted to invite members of the commission to the API Democratic Caucus meeting that we're holding Monday, July 13th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I know a couple of the commissioners during the previous meeting had made some public comments and statements regarding the affirmative action case that our Attorney General had signed on to. So AAPIDC has invited Attorney General Aaron Ford to and have a candid discussion about this particular topic and subject matter. So if anyone's interested in joining, we can share the information with Margie and Tuan so we can distribute it to the rest of the commission as well. And just another piece of information, taxes are due next week. I'm just sharing because my boss shared this today on a teletown hall. I just wanted to put a reminder out there. July 15th is the last date to file your taxes if you haven't done so already. There are actually a lot of free organizations in the community who are able to help members of our larger community complete their taxes. I know ACDC is on, and representatives of ACRC are also on, and I'm sure they're working with, you know, our free tax professionals in the community to refer members to fill out their taxes. Those are the only two updates that I have.
Thank you, Divya. So our next, oh, sorry, is there anyone else? Okay. Our next meeting date is August 12, 2019 at 7 p.m. Meeting place will be posted at a later date. So it could be virtual, it could be in person, we don't know. I think for now it's virtual. So the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to our liaisons.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. Let's eat.
You too. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Have a great night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.